Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I think what they're saying is, I do not wish to belong to a political party. In a society such as ours, which is a two-party system, that's a pretty damn explosive and important thing to say.
Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. And just as we discussed, Republican hopefuls are gathered in Iowa this weekend to court hardcore Republican voters. But come 2012, some of the most heavily courted voters will be independents. These are the voters who could vote either way in the election or stay home entirely. They are the voters that helped elect Barack Obama in 2008 and bring Republicans back into power in the House of Representatives in 2010. All this month, It's a Free Country's Anna Sale is searching for those independent voters. Last week, she was on the show to discuss a visit to the 4th Congressional District of Colorado, a swing district in a swing state in a swing part of the country. Today, she's here to talk about the various organizations popping up to try to challenge the two-party system and organize those independent voters. And as you heard in that clip from Jackie Sallet, head of independentvoting.org, that can be a pretty radical idea. Anna, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, Anna, aren't independents by definition outside of a party system? It's trying to organize independence, and that's kind of an oxymoron in our two-party system of government.
Yeah, if you're talking about independence as far as how they're registered to vote, these are people who have said, I don't want to be organized by either the Democratic or the Republican Party. So that's challenge number one. The second challenge is, of course, like, what does independent mean? We heard from Colorado last week that a lot of people are using that to just say, you know, I might be registered a Democrat or Republican, but really I'm an independent. And to me, what I heard again and again was that was the way people were distancing themselves from what was happening in Washington, that they are not pleased with what's happening in Washington. But it doesn't say a lot necessarily about what their politics actually are. It's just saying, I'm dissatisfied. Satisfied with the status quo.
George Washington expressed his concern about our two-party system, so this goes back to the very founding of our country. Listeners, we have a little time for your calls here. If you've got an idea for how to bring independents into the fold, give us a call. Anna's been looking into top two voting, new political parties, and all sorts of other ideas, and we're going to have her tell us about all of that now, but we want to hear your ideas as well. If you've got one, let us know. 212-433-WMYC. That's 212-433-9692. And Anna, let's go through some of the proposals that are out there. You spoke with Ted Downing, a member of Arizona's legislature, who's also serving on the state's Election Procedures Review Committee, and here's what he said.
Arizona represents the source of hyperpartisanship. We're going to change it at the source and hopefully with that send a message nationwide.
Okay, Anna, that sounds good. But what exactly is he talking about? How is Arizona going to send a message nationwide?
So Ted Downing, he's actually a former legislator, a former Democratic legislator who's now an independent. And he's one of several local grassroots activists who have said, we're seeing the number of independents grow. We're seeing people leaving the Democratic and Republican parties. And what they're saying is not that this is because we believe a specific thing other than the parties don't represent us, other than the system is broken. So what they're doing is collecting signatures for a top two primary system in Arizona as opposed to the party primaries. So what this would mean is if this passes when it's on the ballot in November 2012, is instead of having a Democratic and Republican primary, there would be one primary where the top two vote getters then go on to the general election.
So that's the top two voting.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's one of a number of different proposals that independent voting advocates are looking at. They say, look, if you have to be registered in the Democrat as a Democrat to vote in the Democratic primary, that's not fair. Where do independents go? They're looking to open up primaries across the country because states have various rules on that.
Is that really so radical? Lots of countries around the world have a voting system where you can approve more than one candidate.
Well, if you start talking about getting away from the two-party system in America, American politics, that's absolutely radical, because you're not just talking about how primaries work. You're talking about how Congress is organized with the Democratic and Republican caucus. You're talking about how people are appointed to the Federal Elections Commission with Republicans and Democratic appointments. So it would radically change the system if all of a sudden you're saying, this isn't how we're going to organize things. We're going to organize things differently because these independents are demanding that.
I think a lot of our listeners probably heard of the No Labels movement. How does that fit into independent voters and their voting patterns?
Well, what I think is interesting about No Labels is they've taken a totally different approach than these independent voting advocates. They're saying the two-party system works. We want to stick with it. But what we want is to create more incentives for more bipartisan cooperation. So they're assuming that there's this group of voters, these independent voters, who are unhappy with how things are going in Washington. And so there need to be new incentives. There need to be incentives for people to say, I'm going to work with a Democrat if I'm a Republican, even though that might result in a primary challenge. So they've done things like organize local chapters in congressional districts across the country. They launched back in December. They have about 400 chapters so far. They're aiming for 435. But the challenge is, of course, if you're organizing around the idea of bipartisan compromise, it's a little vague. Like, how do you get people fired up about that? The Tea Party, you can get people fired up by saying, we're going to stand strong, we're against compromise, enough is enough. The No Labels movement has that challenge of sort of saying, we want solutions. And, you know, then where's the energy behind that? So I talked to a woman, Deborah Hauser, who's been doing this organizing in Connecticut, and they've done a number of things, like have local forums where folks like Joe Lieberman or the former independent governor of Connecticut, Lil Weicker, got together, talked about fiscal policy, talked about why compromise is necessary. But she did note that you know, when you have a group called No Labels, it has been a little difficult to get people to understand what that's about. And also to get around the idea that, is this a front group for some independent candidate like Michael Bloomberg, for example? This is what she had to say.
I am skeptical, and I don't want to be like the front for anybody. You know what I mean? I got other things to do. I got a lot of things I could be doing other than being used as a front for some, you know, subversive activities. But I have met so many wonderful people who really care about America.
So she said, you know, we're just getting together, we're having conference calls, we're talking about ways to do things differently. One of the things that they're looking at doing is supporting candidates who are facing these primary challenges from folks on the far reaches of the party, folks like Olympia Snowe in Maine. No Labels is planning to do some organizing in support of her and saying, we want lawmakers like this in Washington because we think it's good for governing.
Well, they're trying to work within the system, and they made a big splash when they first came out. They do have a lot of high-profile politicians signing on to their cause, but look at the debt ceiling debate. Partisanship is alive and well. Can No Labels really work in a bipartisan system? Do they have the numbers? Is No Labels no numbers?
No Labels is in a capacity building phase. They're at about 100,000 members. They launched back in December, and they have a lot of Washington star power behind them, a lot of, you know, big name pundits who you see on the cable news talk shows, both Democrats, Republicans, also independents, all organizing around this. But again, that is the question. Do you know, you have to watch races like Olympia Snowe's race to see, do they have the organizing capacity? Does this idea with a fancy website actually translate into votes?
Yeah. Let's take a call from Matt. Matt, you are on WNYC with It's a Free Country's Anna Sale.
Hello. How are you?
We are well. Thank you for your call.
Good. Just a quick point. I'm wondering why I don't hear more about this movement called GO. It's an acronym, G-O-O-O-H, which stands for Get Out of Our House. It's a nonpartisan movement. I think the founder's name is Tim Cox. He's a businessman, entrepreneurial type. But he started this movement to basically, it's a system. It's like an election system, a proposed election system that would elect public officials objectively. And it has some pretty good momentum. I just don't hear more about it.
GetOutOfOurHouse.org, a nonpartisan plan to evict the career politicians from the U.S. House of Representatives. Is that what you're talking about, Matt?
That is the one, yes.
The Internet's a wonderful thing. I certainly didn't pull that out of my hat. that sounds like an independent effort, Anna Sale.
Well, I think that gets to the other, you know, one of the questions. So it's easy to be against the current incumbents, but what replaces them. So that's the challenge when you're trying to organize independents. You can say, I know you're disaffected. I know you don't like what's happening in Washington. I know you're taking a stand that, the status quo will not do. But somebody's going to get elected. So then you have to figure out who are the candidates that represent this very diverse swath of voters who might not agree on much other than that they're unhappy.
Hmm. Now, I have to make a correction. It's a .com, which I think is a significant distinction, and it's G-triple-O-H. So it's goo. Which I'm not sure about as a name, but there you go. GetOutOfOurHouse.com. So, Matt, thank you very much for your call. And now we go to Dimitri. Dimitri's in Hillsborough, New Jersey. Dimitri, you're on WNYC with Anna. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're well, thank you.
I was going to say, when the Constitution was developed, and we had a lot fewer people in America, and having you know, one person represent 10, 20,000 people was okay. But now with the population we have, it's just there's not enough representation. What I was actually proposing was people can vote for American Idol through their cell phone. Why can't we vote on issues independently, each person? And that way we don't have a need for bipartisanship and people siding with their parties and not necessarily voting in the best interest of the people that put them there in office in the first place.
Anna?
Well, there's actually somebody else thinking that as well who's got an effort that they're launching for the 2012 election geared to the presidential campaign, and this is a group called Americans Elect, and it's looking at how to do internet voting to create an alternate primary system so you can get around the Democratic and Republican primaries to get actually candidates on the ballot in all 50 states. And so what they're doing, if you go to that website now, what they're doing is sort of beginning to launch this conversation online about what the issues are that are important to most Americans, what the platforms should be for candidates who want to appeal to these voters. And then they're going to have a convention in June where people are going to vote. And, you know, how does it work? What are these candidates going to be for? This is something that Stephen Colbert asked about last night.
People know what a partisan stands for. They know what the Democrats stand for, tax and spend. They know what Republicans stand for, which is America. And then you can decide which one you want to support. What does Americans Elect stand for?
Well, it stands for giving people more voice in our politics.
So that's Elliot Ackerman, who's the policy director for Americans Elect. And that's the question then. If you create this alternate system, then where's the energy come from? What are the ideas? That's what politics are about. So you can create these alternate systems. And again, you get back to that puzzle when you're dealing with independents of what binds them together other than their dissatisfaction.
But Americans Elect is ultimately going to funnel the candidates into the two-party system, right? So won't that mean that they eventually become part of the same partisan structure? I don't know that that's really what Dimitri, our caller, would ultimately want to see. He sounds like he wants more of the free-for-all that American Idol and Simon Cowell provide.
Well, it's internet voting, so it could be a total free-for-all. They're going to have some control, so it's one person, one vote. But it's going to be an alternate primary system. So there's going to be the Democratic primaries all across the country, the Republican primaries all across the country. And then there's going to be this internet-based primary that if they're successful in getting the signatures that they need to get on the ballot in all 50 states, then there'll be another candidate on the ballot in the general election who you could vote for president.
And I know that Stephen Colbert was joking, but do you think he had a little bit of a point that Americans know what the parties stand for and that there's a certain simplicity to a two-party system? It makes it a little bit easier for the average voter to engage with. And although our caller, Dimitri, referred back to our founding and we had different parties, we've always had a couple of parties, you know, Federalists. We have had other parties over the course of our history, and we're not going to run through the whole history of our parties. But essentially, we've only had two parties.
Well, and that's the challenge. If you say the two-party system isn't working, let's get together and talk about the issues and the priorities that we have that are outside of what the parties have decided. It's easy to come together and say it's all about jobs in America right now, like that's number one priority. But where do you go from there about how to make that an actual functioning policy? I think that's what you've seen with the Obama presidency. He ran in 2008 in part as this post-partisan figure, as this figure who said Washington is not working. I am coming. I am fresh. I am new. I am not Hillary Clinton. I am not the Republicans who've been in office for 8 years. And then look, Now he's in office. He's having to govern. There are specific things that he's done. He has a record. And independents don't like him as much as they did before. They're actually, he's got, for the first time in late July in a Pew poll, a majority of them don't approve of how Obama's been governing. So that's the question. It's easy to say, we don't like how things are working. We want jobs. We want health care that's affordable. Then, you know, the devil's in the details, as the Obama presidency has shown.
And when we do have efforts at new parties, even in modern times and previously, they fail. They fail. Bob in Queens is on with Anna Sale, WMYC, and It's a Free Country. Welcome. Bob, are you with us?
Hello.
Bob, hello. You're on WMYC.
Oh, I'm from Highland Park, New Jersey, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, hello. We are happy to have you.
You know, I've been a firm believer in the instant runoff system for both primaries and for general elections for a long time. And I see it as, you know, eliminating the spoiler effect that people often cite as being, you know, one of the problems with the two-party system. And I think that, you know, if we were to be able to institute that, I think a lot of people would feel as though they have other options, both in the primaries and the general election.
And Anna, I imagine you've come across, both in Colorado and in your work here, others like Bob in New Jersey, who would prefer that approach. But how realistic would any of these efforts be to shift us in a very different direction than what we have now? And Bob, thank you very much for your call.
Well,
it's interesting because I think that there are two conversations happening right now for the 2012 election. There's the first, which is their number of independent voters are growing. That shows that there is momentum and there is the political will to change the system. But to do that, you've got to have things like ballot initiatives in states. You've got to get things passed through legislatures. That's a structural issue that's going to be happening parallel to the campaigns of Barack Obama and the Republican field, who are trying to appeal to these independent voters and figuring out where they are on the political spectrum and what issues are their sort of tipping point issues. So it's the issues of independent voters, and that's very sort of muddy and unclear, and they are certainly not a one group, coherent group. They are a mix. They're not all swing voters. They're not all Republican-leaning or Democratic-leaning. They're just folks who've said, I don't like the two-party system, but what does that mean when you're voting for president? And then there are, of course, then all these structural issues that are happening alongside. And then with these groups that have come up, there's also the money question. And who are these groups and whose interests do they represent? Because, you know, you've got groups like Americans Elect, which is going to put up an alternative presidential candidate. Who's behind that? And one of the things about this group is we don't know who all their donors are. And I asked Elliot Ackerman about that, why that's the case.
Folks who are trying to build an open nominating process for a ticket to be directly nominated by the American people feel at some level uncomfortable about doing that because they're going to be attacked by the two major parties.
So here you get in this, the two parties are so entrenched that it's a political risk to get out of the two-party system and to go for an alternative so these donors don't want to publicly disclose. That's just a mess.
They have more in common in some ways than not. All right, let's take one last call from Cookie. She is in Brooklyn.
Hi. Because of these structural bog downs and also the problem of the average, I think, of an independent group that you're talking about just simply wanting our American budget to be spent more directly on solutions, there is no reason why we shouldn't have just a simple direct issue-by-issue communication en masse to members of the cabinet. Forget the elected people, forget the primary systems and the parties, because they're just out there raising money but don't have specific enough solutions, and so we never stop going in circles. For example, if you had a mass communication from all people online who wanted to tell the Department of Energy that we want subsidies for the solar and wind industries instead of the nuclear, for example, or direct communication to the Department of Agriculture that we want organic, not chemical or mega, you know, farming. These simple political statements added to huge numbers communicate to people whose departments these are.
All right, so
to
Cookie
decide this way, and that's just an idea that I'm hoping people could comment on.
All right, Cookie wants us to vote on issues, not by parties. Parties are passé. Thank you very much, Cookie, for that, and I think it's a good actual final thought on our conversation about independent votings and political parties. Anna, before you go, I want to talk a little bit about a new project at It's a Free Country. And you were on vacation in Colorado, I know, last week. Brian's on vacation. I was on vacation last week. And like any good political reporter, because, of course, while you're on vacation, you're still working, you took some time to talk to local voters. And it got us all thinking about the politics of our vacation spots, right?
Yes, yes. And I think that, you know, vacation is a time to get out of your comfort zone, get out of your routine, be surrounded by other people, and think about the kinds of conversations you can have when the dialogue and the debate in Washington is so much in gridlock and so nasty. What can we do if we just sort of open it up while we're traveling across the country?
So what are some of the stereotypes that we have about vacation spots?
Well, we, of course, have the vacation spot stereotype that Democrats go to Martha's Vineyard, which just happens to be where President Obama is going on vacation next week. And there was, of course, President Bush going out to Texas and his ranch and doing that work every August. But if you're going to a place where Americans gather, if you're going to Disney World, you know, what are the politics of Disney World? What kind of conversations might you have if you're standing in line?
I was there.
If you're going on a road trip, one of the things we want to know, what sorts of billboards are you seeing? What kind of issues are you seeing that are huge hot button issues that you don't see when you're driving around New York or New Jersey? I'm from West Virginia, and whenever I go home, I realize the coal and energy debate is completely different, and the talking points are different, and the emotion is very different. So take a shot of a billboard if you're on the road and if it says something about politics in America right now.
And you've already heard from one listener, right?
We've heard from
who won't travel to Key West because of hanging chads.
Oh, the political decisions around your vacations.
I have to say, I spent six long weeks in Tallahassee covering the recount, and I still love Florida. So if I got over it, maybe that listener can too. So we are asking listeners to tell us whether they travel in red or blue on itsafreecountry.org. Right now, there is a survey that asks people to describe the political scene in their vacation spot and how politics can play a part in choosing their spot, if it does. Maybe you've learned something or had a political conversation you wouldn't normally have while on vacation. Tell us about it. Find the page for political travel at itsafreecountry.org. And Anna, thank you so much for joining us. You're going to be back next week with more from your search for the independent voters.
The search continues.
You'll also be online during the debate tonight.
Yes.
Everyone should join Anna for the online chat starting just before 9 p.m. at itsafreecountry.org. Anna Sale, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WMYC and WMYC.org. Up next, bike messengers and what they can teach us about New York City and ourselves.